Well, a few weeks ago when we had our picnic, we shared the story of the disciples and some of the times that they had problems and challenges out on the sea, and how Jesus was with them in one situation, then he caught up with them in another, and then it was really kind of an issue of trust. And how that the disciples had to learn to trust Christ. Either he was asleep in the bow or he was walking on the water. Either way, he had to trust. And you guys were great waves and wind. Just again, I think you guys did such a great job at the picnic. And then on Mother's Day, we talked about how that we should raise up our children to train them, to lead them, to disciple them in the ways of Christ. And then we trust that discipleship, that leadership, that training will take, that it'll stick, and that when they grow up, that they will not depart from those ways. We trust that they will grow up to be in Christ, that they will grow and mature. And then last week, we opened up God's Word, and we talked about graduation. We talked about how that we think that things come to an end, that's the celebration, and there is a celebration, but really it's just the starting line that we looked at how the Israelites, as they were getting ready to move into the nation of Israel, then they were getting ready to move into the promised land, that they had to trust Christ. They had to trust God in the way that they had trusted him all the 40 years that they were wandering the desert. They had to trust him in new ways. And we talked about specifically the story of them crossing across the Jordan and how that it was flooded and it was a raging river and that God separated that and he caused dry land and the people crossed and he made a way and they end up directly in front of Jericho. And we left it there last week, and I kind of want to pick up with that story and just say we know now that they faced their greatest fear in that they had to conquer this nation, and they start with Jericho. So today, I want to kind of bring a conclusion to the month of May by talking about how we should trust in the Lord. When storms come, when things happen, we trust in the Lord. When we're charged with raising our children, and we do our best, we trust in the Lord that he will continue that work and do the best thing. Really kind of fill in where we may have faltered. And in life, when we face obstacles and we get to that point where we think that we finally crossed this line, we now see there's a new challenge. We trust in the Lord that he'll help us to do that. Now, for those of us who know the story of Jericho, it all worked out. If you don't know the story of Jericho, Israelites went up to this city, this fortified city that no one thought could ever be conquered. And they did it not with common battlement, but they actually walked around in silence, in holy silence, and then they shouted on the seventh day out to the Lord, and the walls came down, and they conquered Jericho. And they did that because they trusted in the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 3:5. It's a familiar verse to many. It says this: trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. I think the first thing, there's a couple things I want us to see today. The first is this: we should trust in all situations. In all situations. The Israelites, multiple times, seemed as though they were going to be put to death, that they were not going to make it to the promised land. But they trusted in the Lord and they obeyed. And when they obeyed, they overcame the obstacles and they overcame the challenges and they learned to trust in him. Now, Paul writes in Romans, he says that the Old Testament was written as an example to us that we may learn. Now, have you ever had somebody, a boss or a mentor or maybe your parent, said, learn from my mistakes? Now, what do we normally do though, right? We make the same mistake. And then you're like, oh, that's why you said that, right? Maybe it's something as simple as don't touch the oven. You don't have to do that very often. That's a pretty quick one, right? But unfortunately, in life, there's a lot of things that we don't learn quickly. We think, oh, well, that was a mistake because I didn't do this right. If I'd done this, God's like, no, just trust me. Trust what I'm telling you. Follow me. Obey me. Trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. What does that mean? To lean on your own understanding. Maybe you've experienced that in your own life. You did something, you thought, this has got to be the right thing, right? This is the best thing ever. I was reminded this week that when we lean on our own understandings, it has sometimes negative consequences. I met with my financial advisor. There's not much to advise on, but I met with him. It's by law now, I have to meet once a year with him, and we were talking, and in 2006 and 2007, I had made some investments that turned out to be pretty good investments, but they were in the tech industry, and my advisor at the time was like, you need to find something else to put that in, because you can't ride tech forever. And boy, I'm not a financial advisor, but I did research, and I thought, you know what? Right now, there is nothing that's more safe than the housing market. So I took a lot of my money and invested it in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and some of the housing market lenders, because that just seemed to be, I mean, they had 40, 50 years of just solid growth. It was safe. Nothing could possibly go wrong until the bottom fell out on the housing market in 2008. But because I like to double down on my stupidity, I'd taken some of the money and I thought, I researched out and it was like, okay, what's another thing that I could invest in? Because this has got to be a fluke, right? So I took some money and I invested it in a very solid company. This company has been great for 70 plus years. There's nothing that could possibly change. And I just invested heavily in GM. Now, if you don't know about Fannie Mae and GM, well, first of all, I no longer own stock in GM because GM bankrupt. And they were so kind to, when they reopen, not issue any more stocks back to me. Thank you very much. Now, somehow the guy who's the GM of GM got multi-million-dollar bonuses for reopening, but I got nothing. He took my money. That's right. He got his bonus with my money. That would not be a very big bonus. But when we do things sometimes, I mean, it just made sense, right? I had read a book. I read this book, and it's like, this is how you pick stocks. And I was like, this is it. I know. Even though my financial advisor was like, I wouldn't do that. I'm like, I read a book. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to live. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. I'm not jumping out of any buildings. Not stock market crash in 1927 or anything. I was just reminded this week, but when I lean on my own understanding, it doesn't always work out. But if we trust in the Lord in all situations, at all times, no matter what it seems like, and like I talked about last week, you know, this river is raging. It's in the flood stage. And he's like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put this really heavy chest, the Ark of the Covenant, I want you to put it on your shoulders, and I want you to walk into that water. And I don't know where you're at in your life, but sometimes there's just, God's like, you see that raging river that's going on? I want you to get down in it. I want you to lead the way because there's people who need to follow you. And I'll be honest, if I was one of those 12 guys that was supposed to carry that in there, I'd been like, can somebody, is there like a tap out? Is there an alternate that I can, you know? But sometimes God's like, no, you. You. Trust me. So the first thing about trusting the Lord I want us to see is that we have to trust him in all situations. Second thing is this. We can trust because his understanding is higher than ours. Isaiah 55:9, again, a verse many of us know. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Boy. It's hard to believe sometimes. When you're down in the middle of the muck and the mire, you just think that this is the whole world. The whole world must be muck and mire. But God's up above and he sees. He's like, it can be more than this. If you trust me, I can get you through this. I will pull you through this. We will get to the other side. Sometimes we just want to give up, don't we? My ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. Paul writes that he says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Now that I'm a man, I think like a man. Spiritually speaking, we should be the same way. Some of us, although we got saved decades ago, are no more mature than we were the day we got saved. And a lot of it has to do with this verse right here, trusting in him. Understanding that his ways are greater than ours. That we need to grow into those thoughts. Now, we can't understand all the thoughts of the Lord, but we can understand some things. As I watch my kids grow up, and we watch them doing things that, you know, obviously when they were younger, we didn't let them do. But now that they're older, we're teaching them how to do this. Because one day they're going to have their own home. Prayerfully, hopefully, God. Yes, Jesus. Right? And when they have their own home, they're going to have to mow the grass, and they're going to have to load the dishwasher and know how to cook and know how to use this thing called a vacuum cleaner. And they have this really cool, you know, invention called the broom and a dustpan, and it's amazing technology, you know. There's no app for that. It's you actually have to hold it and use it. So we have these times with our kids that we pour into them, and we're like, our thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But one day they will be adults. And I pray that they surpass even my understanding, but we'll never surpass the Lord's understanding. But the Lord's like, you know what? I don't want you to always be little children. I want you to learn some things from me. I want there to be some maturity. I want you to trust me because I understand things that you don't understand, but let me help you understand some of them. We learn these things really quickly when we're children. And spiritually speaking, we are all children. We're all growing and maturing. We have to be able to look at him. And you know what? It's okay for us to say, we don't know. And I know for us adults, especially for men, we don't like to use that phrase. But it's a phrase that we should use a lot of times in our life. And seek the one who does know. The one who knows all and sees all. And he can give us the answer. But you know what's frustrating? I'll just be completely transparent. Because maybe you can share with this pain with me. You know what's really frustrating for me? Is when I don't know and I ask God and he says, you're not ready to know. Or if I told you, you wouldn't understand anyway. Has the Lord ever told you something? You're like, what? Have you ever done that for your kids? Explain something to your children and they look at you with this glassy look? Like, you don't know what you're talking about, old man. That's when I want to pull this verse out and say, that is because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Trust me, teenager. One day you shall be. No, we know that the Lord has an understanding that we don't have. And we know that he shares some of it with us, but not all of it. But we still have to trust him. And we trust that when he does share with us, he shares enough that we need to know. Here's the thing. He doesn't share everything he knows. He shares everything we need to know. But that's infuriating at times. When we get information that we say, I only know this, why can't I know all the others? I don't. You just can't, God says. But that's when faith moves in, right? Hebrews, what is faith? It's having the solid understanding and stability of what we've seen. I'm paraphrasing here, just so I can get you to understand. The stuff you've seen, the people that you have interacted with, the things that you do know, when you're really secure and solid in that, then there's things that you don't understand, the things you haven't seen, you trust in that because of the things you have seen. And God did that with the Israelites. You saw me split the Red Sea. You saw me stop the flooding of the Jordan River. You've seen me feed you for 40 years from heaven. Now when I tell you to go up to that fortified city and walk around it and don't say a word, just trust in me, it will come to be. But there's a lot of us that we want to know the details. We want to know, well, am I supposed to go left foot, right foot, left foot? Do I go in a circle or do I go in a square? Do I go counterclockwise or clockwise? God's like, just walk around the stupid city, okay? And shut up for 7 days. Can you do that? I don't know if God says shut up. I don't know. That's just the parent in me sometimes. That's just, he is our father, so I don't know. Maybe he does. He does it in a holy way. Shutteth upeth. I don't know. That thou shalt be silent. And there was silence. You know, and that's, he just says, look, just trust me. And so we need to do that. And because his ways are higher and we are blessed, he took some of the things that he knows and some of the things he wants us to know, and he wrote it through the series of different authors over thousands of years, and we now have it in a book that we call the Bible, and we can go to it, and we can study it, and we can know some of the things that he wants us to know. That's the third thing, is we can stand firm on the Word of God. We can stand firm on the Word of God, and because of that, we can trust. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, Paul writes this, "So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings that we passed on to you." There's nothing more powerful, and I've experienced it numerous times in my life, and I pray that you have, and if you haven't, I pray you will, that my life has been in complete chaos and there has been storms raging and there is a Jericho before me and I do not know the answer. And I will pray and it seems like God's voice is silent to me, but I will open his word and it will speak to me. And I can stand on this and say, God, I don't know what the specific situation is for me right now, but I look and see how you moved in the lives of the Israelites. I see how you moved in the lives of the disciples. I see what you did with Paul. I see what you have planned at the end of time, and I trust you. And so if you're saying to go to that city, to go do this, to go do that, that is what I'll do. Even though I don't know the details, even though I don't understand all the stuff that's going on around it, I trust you. And we can stand firm on his word. I'm always just amazed, and I'm heartbroken when I hear certain things in culture. And I know this is going to be an obscure reference for some of us, but so I was listening to the soundtrack of Black Panther movie this week, the clean version, in case somebody looked it up. One of the songs has this line. It's a hip-hop rap song. I'm listening to it. And one of the lines just jumped out at me. I had to rewind it to listen to it again. And he's talking about how he's doing it all. This man is talking about how he's done everything himself. He's built himself up. He has made himself. This is my life. This is my kingdom. I am king. And with me, there's four sets of footprints in the sand, not two. And he says it declaratively. And I took a second. I was like, what is, rewind. And I heard it again. And I knew exactly what he's referencing. You're referencing the poem many of us know, the Footprints in the Sand. If you don't know it, it's a poem that talks about how that a person at the end of their life looks back and it says that they look at their life like it's on a walk on the beach and they see only two footprints. And they're like, Jesus, where were you in those times? He's like, I was with you. I was the one carrying you. It's a very short version of it. And I heard this line in this song and I was just like heartbroken for this person. And I'm heartbroken for so many men and women in this world who they have nothing to stand on but their own 2 feet. Because I know my own 2 feet and they are not solid. I learned this yesterday because we were doing yard work and in leaning over and doing yard work, one of the times I stood up and the next thing you know, I was on the ground. Well, you're out in the sun for about 5-6 hours, not hydrating like you're supposed to. Funny things happen to your body. My legs were not solid. They were not something I could stand firm on. But God's word is, and he is. Back to the very first verse, we lean not on our own understanding. I was doing things my own way. My loving wife was like, make sure you drink, make sure you drink, make sure you hydrate. I'm like, oh, I'm a grown man, I can do whatever I want, which included passing out. That's right, I'm a man. Ugh. Watch me pass out. How frustrated God must be with us when he's like, I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to avoid these little mistakes in your life. And we're like, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to stand on my own understanding. I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet instead of your word. We trust in the Lord because we can stand firm on his word. Fourth thing is this, as we mature in the word, we can be secure when changes happen. Ephesians 4:13 and 14 says, when we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, obtaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, when we reach to the point where we have a biblical understanding of Christ, when we understand him in a way that we didn't before, when we are maturing in him, reaching the fullness of him, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by the wind. Man, some of us have struggled with this in our life. I've seen it 100 times, thousands of times. Men and women who say, I'm putting my faith in Christ, but as soon as a little wind comes by, they are blown over. And they're like, well, Christ didn't work. I'm going to go do something else. I'm like, but were you rooted in it? Were you maturing? Were you in unity with him? Paul writes, when we have the knowledge of the Son of God, where does knowledge come from? It comes through the study of his word. When we are firmly planted on God's word, then no matter what may come, what waves may come, what winds may blow, we will not be shaken. Boy, that's easy to say when it's sunshine and partly cloudy and 72 degrees, right? In Florida right now, they're having a storm. And we have friends who live in Florida, and they're talking about how when they built this house and they bought their house that they have certain different kind of building codes than we have in Evansville, Indiana. You know why they do that? Because not that they think, oh, there may be a storm. They said because the storm is coming someday. We don't know when, we don't know what year, we don't know what day, but there's a good chance that as long as we're living in the state of Florida, that there will be some kind of tropical storm or hurricane or something. So they designed their houses anticipating the storm. That's how we should build our lives. I don't mean to be a gloom and doomer. I'm just telling you that there's going to be storms in your life. And if you're any kind of maturity level at all, you know that there have been in your own life. And you know that there may be some coming down the road. And when the storms come, will we be standing on God's word? Jesus told a parable about this. He said there was a man who went out and built his house upon the sand. When the waves came and the water came and the rain came, it washed it away. But another man built his house on a rock. And when the rains came, I love that when it says when they came. It's not an if, when. The house stood. So it is, Jesus said, for those who build their life upon my word. We will have things in our life that's going to rock us. We're going to have things that are storms that want to blow us away. But if we are standing on God's word, they won't. If we trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you love us, and that you gave us your word to stand on. Heavenly Father, I just pray. I pray that when the winds come, then when the waves come, and the storms come, that we won't be tossed back and forth, but God, that we will stand firm in you and with you. Help us to learn not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust in you always. It's in your name I pray. Amen.